Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
A lot of expectation surrounding Thursday. Joe Anderson has hinted on his Twitter that maybe the decks have been cleared for Thursday. Maybe. So we can make an announcement about a brand new stadium. Is that the case? The man in the know. He knows all the wheelers and dealers behind Everton Football Club. It's Dave Downey. Morning to you, David.
Morning, Steve.
Thursday. Is it nailed on? Are Everton announcing a brand new stadium on Thursday?
Yes, there will be some sort of formal
announcement.
Have you
said candidly yes? Is that
like I'm categorically saying that yes, they will announce something on Thursday.
Something?
Whether that's just the acquisition of the land that's required to build a new stadium.
Is that not the same thing as a new stadium?
Pretty much, yeah. But I think it's world's worst kept secret now. Joe Anderson, I think, has been really, really funny. And he's upset a lot of Liverpool fans. I was looking on social media last night, which, again, has been really, really funny.
It's funny, isn't it? He doesn't act like a mayor when he responds to Liverpool fans on social media.
No. But then he's also keen to point out that he helped to fund, or the council helped to fund, Liverpool's new stand.
So. He helped to fund.
Yeah.
He
put his hand in his own pocket.
I'm not having that. That's like he left some artifact of his own in the building of the roof or something. If you went to the top of the Anfield stand, there lies Joe Anderson's hat.
Yeah.
He's left it out of spite.
Like those time capsules he put. Isn't there one underneath the centre circle at Wembley with all sorts of stuff in?
Joe's left his glasses there.
Well, didn't someone leave a Liverpool shirt at Gary Neville's new house or something in the foundations?
Is that right?
Yeah. A
picture. Still buried there underneath.
Joe Anderson's hair wax or something like that. But he's been very funny. But yeah, I mean, it is. It's going to be a momentous week, you would think.
I think it's a great week for the city. I think red and blue.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any red in the city. Maybe I'm going against some people. I don't think there's any reds who are going, this is dreadful news. I think they're going, great. We'll have two brilliant stadia in the city. And I don't think it's a case of jealousy. I don't think anyone at Anfield's going to be looking over going, I wish we had that. You'll have your sparkly new stadium. And we'll have it. We've got brilliant Anfield. You
sparkly
know,
new stand.
Brilliant Anfield as it's always been. I think it'd be a great testimony to the city.
I think if you're a local person, you don't see any sort of downfalls in it happening. Genuinely, I mean, taking the football allegiances out of it for a minute. I know a few people I've looked at social media sort of kicking up a fuss that there's money being invested in private projects like this. Certainly at the council's end where there's obviously massive cuts made in various other sectors of council spending in terms of care and stuff like that, and adult social care and stuff. And you can see points to be made there. I mean, that'll be in the finer detail how it is actually funded.
Well, the council won't be funding the stadium, will
no.
they? They'll be funding infrastructure.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen actually, someone's done a really good mock-up of how the train system will look. When the stadium gets built. So there'll be a station from Kirkdale, the next stop will be Bramley Moor, and then one after Bramley Moor, I think it's Nelson's Dock, the one that's next to it, and then that'll connect to Lime Street. So the whole loop looks completely different. And let's face it, there's nothing down that end of the city. There's nobody causing any uproar. There's no, you know, compulsive purchase orders and things like that, kicking people out of houses. There's none of that sort of thing. It's a genuine wasteland at this moment in time that needs regeneration. And, you know, it's a massive win-win for everyone involved, I think.
So financially, what's your understanding as to how the actual bricks and mortar is being funded? Is this purely from Farhad Moshiri? Is he getting help? Is it from this USM Holdings? What is it?
I think that you've mentioned a number of factors there. I think Moshiri won't directly fund a large part of it. That'll come from, I would think, a name and rights deal that he'll have agreed along with somebody. Now,
do you think so? Liverpool haven't even got a name and rights deal for their main stand.
No, but I think there's
and
no.
I know Liverpool tried.
Well, of course, but there's no necessity for Liverpool to do that because you're just rebuilding one end of the ground. It's not one set of standalone project, whereas this is something completely different to Goodison Park. It's a completely different venue. That, I think, gives it just cause to be named with a sponsor.
So it could be the Sony Goodison Stadium?
Could be the USM Stadium. It could be...
So it's not going to be called Goodison?
Soviet Union
would
Stadium.
Would that be your understanding?
It won't be called Goodison, though.
Why couldn't you call it Goodison?
Well, because it's not Goodison Park is Goodison Park. There'll never be another one of them. I think there's sentimental reasons in as much as there are logistical reasons why they wouldn't call it Goodison Park.
Right, so you wouldn't want to take the name with you.
Well, if we had the option, yeah, but it needs to bridge the gap between the new and what modern day football is, and the traditions of the club, what the club stands for. And the architect Dan Mice is quite open on Twitter. Actually, if you send him a message or two, he responds to quite a few people in regards to how he's structuring and what his vision is for the stadium. He wants it to have big, steep, sloping stands, really enclosed, fans close to the pitch.
Square or bowl shaped?
Square, I think.
That's good. I'm not a fan of bowl shapes.
No, I'm not. I mean, you look at that Chelsea thing that they're going to build. It's an absolute monstrosity. I think they're trying to replicate the bird's nest that they built in Beijing. But you look at some of the things that he's designed. His sort of trademark is the square traditional size stadium. Now, obviously, the capacity is a big talking point. There's a lot of debate over whether Everton could fill a certain amount of people. My own opinion is I think you need to build it as big as possible, because if you're hoping to grow as a football club, you can't be sort of held back by the fact you can only put 50-odd thousand fans in there. I'd make it as big as they possibly
can. Build it bigger than 55,000?
I'd set the bar at 60, because
could Everton sell out 60? How many games in a season do Everton sell out?
Well, since Ronald Koeman took over, I think all but one sold out.
But that wasn't the case, was it? Pre Koeman?
No, So I think we averaged around 36,000-37,000 for the last few seasons. When you bear in mind what the team were actually doing in the last couple of years, and that's quite respectable. But I think it's all about pricing. A guy who contributes to the Blue Room quite often, the Esk, he has a lot of business acumen, and he was saying to us that only 6,000 of that new stadium could fund as much as the rest of the ground in terms of corporate hospitality. So 6,000 people sign up for corporate hospitality and packages, boxes, things like that. That can bring in as much revenue as the rest of the entire stadium if Everton kept the current pricing structure. I think that's what they'll be keen to hammer home.
Which is why Arsenal have gone down that line. Chelsea do it. Liverpool. It's the modern way of doing it, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it is. But I think a naming rights deal, to go back to your initial question, I think that frees up a lot of variable income. As in, I think Everton wouldn't have to shift their pricing structure too much. Obviously, you've seen the clubs like Arsenal. I think like some games like it, upwards of 60 to 80 quid to go. And obviously the away fan ticket implications now, it's only 30 quid a game. But for home fans, it's substantially more. I think you'll find a structure where it's going to be like there'll be a premium seating level, much like you see at Barcelona and at Real Madrid. So you can get a ticket for as cheap as, I don't know, 20-odd euro, all the way up to 150, 200 euro if you want a little bit of hospitality. I think they'll be quite varied in the structure of it. Liverpool are similar, aren't they, Steve? Because they have the £9 tickets for a certain amount of fans, and then the price goes up and up and up.
Yeah, it's not that many.
No.
You'd have to be lucky to get a £9 ticket.
Same odds as winning the lottery, I think, isn't it?
I think our producer Lizzie somehow seems to get hold of these ones. No one else can find them.
She's a genuine ITK when it comes to the tickets. But yeah, I mean, I think the structure of how it's financed will obviously be, you would think, some sort of dealing with USM Holdings.
Are you bothered who sponsors it if it does become a named stadium? Like if it's the Chang Arena?
Don't care.
Are you going down the Chang this weekend to watch Everton against West Ham?
I don't care.
You're not bothered?
No, because I think you have to make an allowance in this day and age for that to happen. What new stadium doesn't have...
Well, the Emirates sounds right, doesn't it? But I wonder whether it's because of the brand. Not saying Chang's not a good brand. Chang would sound fine, wouldn't it? But
I know what you mean, because Emirates, I think you've had more than a 10-year association with Arsenal, so it feels right because...
It doesn't feel like the name... sponsor. Well, it doesn't feel like the name of an airline. It just feels like the name of their ground. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. The Etihad, slightly different, I think, because it used to be the City of Manchester Stadium. Mm. You look at, Newcastle. It's a weird one, that, isn't it? It's the Sports Direct Arena, but people still call it St. James's Park. So, I think they only get one shot at it, though, Steve. I don't think they could go into it with a name, Bramley Moor Arena or whatever they're going to call it.
The Costco Arena or something. You've got a decent sponsor.
I think you've got to do it from the off, though. You can't sort of have that in place and then sort of tender for a naming partner. I think you need to go in with that in mind, like you say, to develop a brand. The Emirates sounds like Arsenal. You wouldn't call it Ashburton Grove anymore, would you? Because it just sounds wrong. So, and with the club's sponsorship deal coming to an end with Chiang as well, there's massive scope to bring in a big, big player in terms of sponsorship rights. And obviously, they've still yet to announce the kit sponsor for next season, which that's going to be made in the coming weeks and months. So it's a very exciting time, but the whole structure will be fascinating to see how the funding package is put together.
I don't know how far ahead of the game we're getting. Obviously, we're hoping something's announced on Thursday itself. I mentioned to MJ before, does it in any way coincide with this announcement about the Commonwealth Games? I'm not suggesting things have been speeded up by that, but they would certainly fall in line with a bid for the Commonwealth Games for 2022.
I think it wouldn't have been part of any negotiating process with Peel and the council and the club, but I don't think any of those parties would particularly play any great note to the fact that we're trying to get the Commonwealth Games. Having said that, I mean, it just adds fuel to the fire that Liverpool will be in a position to bid for that Games and be able to say, well, look, we're going to have a brand new stadium that's fully equipped to cope with the pressures that come with hosting such an event like that. I mean, Joe Anderson's been unequivocal in how he wants the Games here, whatever year that may be. And you would feel that the stadium would be part of that, but certainly not as part of Everton's vision or move to Bramley Moor. It'd be part of the Commonwealth Games. Should they win that bid, then that would be involved, not the other way around.
And you certainly don't want to track, do you, in the way of the seats?
No.
And the pitch. I know Manchester City removed their track, but you want something that's as tight as possible to the actual playing surface, don't you? So, that will be in people's thoughts going forward. What are you expecting to happen on Thursday?
I think, I don't know if we'll be as far along the line in terms of getting artists.
By the way, this is all speculation.
Of course, yeah. I mean, we've not received any sort of confirmation from any official source, but I would expect that they're going to make a formal announcement that will be the site where Everton's new stadium is.
On the website, a press conference?
I think they'll hold a press conference, I would think. I don't think they bother going down there because, let's face it, right now it isn't the most glamorous of places to sort of announce that you're going to be building a brand new stadium there. I think they'll hold a press conference. I would expect Fahad Moshiri and Bill Kenwright to sort of front that sort of thing. Obviously, Joe Anderson will be involved because he wants to, basically. And I would expect them to announce the intention that's going to be where Everton's new stadium will be. I don't know if they'll go any further than that in terms of artistic impressions and drawn up sketches and things like that. I don't know how far along. But with Joe Anderson saying a couple of weeks ago, Steve, that he would expect that ground to be built within 2 years, you would imagine behind the scenes that there's a lot of negotiation gone on in recent months that would suggest that they're further along the line than we perhaps think.
Just thinking of some names for the different stands. Maybe the Joe Anderson stand could be one of them.
I think they need, well, in all seriousness, they need to incorporate our Kendall into it, don't they?
The Lukaku stand. Maybe that'll be written into his contract.
You should just rub it in Liverpool's face and call one the big stand.
The biggest stand.
Big stand
all.
FC.
It's going to be brilliant. You mentioned that train line before. There's a piece in The Echo today on page 3. A vision has been laid out for the potential Sergeant Pepper rail line. And this is where it's like a loop line. So it would start at Lime Street, goes round towards the dock area up to Bramley Moor, continues going to Bank Hall, round to Kirkdale, round even further to Walton Lane and Cherry Lane, and to Club Moor and Tew Brook. So you could go from Tew Brook right the way to the ground. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Through to Edge Lane, and then it curls back round into town towards Paddington and Lime Street again. So this is a potential vision, I should say, from a Wirral-based technician who's been looking at it for a structural engineering firm. That would include 16 new stations and would serve the new developments at Liverpool Waters. Of course, it's not just the stadium they're talking about down there. It's a whole load of high-rise buildings, businesses, redevelopment as a whole that Peel are looking at.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we take our position on the waterfront for granted, I think, Steve. I don't think, certainly pre-Liverpool One and the 2008 capital culture, I don't think we've taken advantage of where the scene is set. And we have a lovely backdrop. If you look at the city from Wirral side, it looks much better now than it did pre-2008. And I think, you know, you look at all that area down there, all the way along to Bootle, Crosby and beyond. I mean, part of it really do need regeneration. And that, you know, it's a landmark to go in the city, isn't it, as well? And what it'll bring is jobs, hotels, restaurants, bars, all that sort of thing, everything that goes with it. I mean, I don't see anybody how they can oppose it other than for genuine football reasons. And if you do that, then you're just a bit bitter, aren't you?
Can't wait to find out. Can't wait to find out a little bit more on Thursday. Maybe we'll find out a bit more on Wednesday. We are, of course, speculating. You never, never know. If you go on the Blue Room EFC at the moment, is there anything about that prospective new stadium on there?
There's loads on there, Steve. Like I say, the Esk, who seems to have the inside track on all of this, he initially told me about this Thursday being the date and time that they set a couple of weeks back. So he definitely knows what he's talking about, you would think, and or surmise. As you say, it's any speculation. But there's some fantastic pieces from him on what it'll do, the infrastructure, of the implications of the funding and how that affect on field issues as well. Because, you know, the elephant in the room is, Steve, you look at Arsenal's situation. For years, their fans banged on about them not investing in the team because they had to fund a new stadium. So I think there needs to be a bit of a balancing act on how that won't affect it. And I would thoroughly expect that Farhad Moshiri had addressed that in any speech that he makes on Thursday.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.